Welcome to Mind Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
It's been a while since we did this.
We miss you.
It's
I never remember where the camera is.
It's right there.
Where on the side?
You're on a podcast. Oh. Quit getting distracted.
You like shouted and spit in my ear.
No, I did not spit. How's it going, everyone out there? I hope you're doing well. Crazy times.
We're all open up here in Montana.
Getting there.
Much. I mean, yeah, getting there. Almost totally opened up pretty soon here.
Almost.
Yeah.
Well, June 1st, 75% capacity.
And 50 people or less.
50 people. That's a lot. I never hang out with 50 people.
I do all the time.
You're popular.
I'm like, come on in. They're like, okay, open to my house.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love that. Wasn't that funny? On the East Coast, they call it COVID-19. And on the West Coast, coronavirus. And here we say, when that shit started happening.
Shit happening. That's what's happening right now. I like to call it COVID.
COVID-19.
Yo, COVID.
So what are we talking about today?
We're talking about pivoting.
Pivoting.
The importance of pivoting, or maybe how we've been forced to pivot.
Yes.
We've been forced to pivot. And many of all of us, the world.
The world has been forced to pause and pivot.
Pause and pivot.
That's a good dance right there. Someone could choreograph something great to that.
Ed Sheeran, do you want to make a song for that in case you're listening?
Ed, I'm sure you're listening. I'm sure you're one of the 10 people listening right now.
But the importance of pivoting, like it's, you know, when it first happened for me, I kind of got froze.
You froze.
And I love the fight, flight, or fright thing. I can't seem to say that right in my own mouth. But it's funny watching how maybe your reaction has changed over time too.
Right. Oh yeah, definitely.
Because when it first happened, I was like in fright.
You were in fright.
So I froze and didn't know how to make sense of the whole thing.
Right.
So I froze, and then, but about 2 or 3 weeks later, with your prompting, I moved.
My prompting?
Well, because you were like, you should.
Oh, I forced you to teach.
She forced me to teach, because I'm like, I'm not teaching.
She totally peaced out.
I'm out. I don't want to teach. But it was, then once we had that discussion, and I moved into action, then at least I started to feel like I had some semblance of control over the moment, perhaps.
Oh, sure.
Do you know, because it feels like now, where normally I'd plan like a month in advance.
Uh-huh.
Or what are we going to do next month?
When you
month?
Have your vacations planned and your girls' nights planned.
Yeah, exactly.
You always have something to like
look forward to. The family's going to do this, and then the girls are going to do this. And then all of a sudden this happened, and I feel like all plans just stopped happening.
Yeah.
It was kind of like
totally stopped.
Because we got stay-at-home order, too. So if you had plans, they were just like null and void.
Mm-hmm.
And then that became hard to say, well, then how do I have something to look forward to?
Right.
And so.
And that's hard for you because you kind of thrive off of knowing what your next thing is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it is very interesting because people's reactions are obviously all their own. It's very interesting for me to see how people are responding emotionally, like, you know, behaviorally, like what everyone is doing. And I always been fight, do you think?
Yeah, maybe.
But that's kind of my personality.
That's your personality.
When things get hard, I'm like, okay, here's the plan. Here's what we're going to do. Okay, this is an awesome opportunity to like rethink this. Or maybe we're going to go here.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right. But then sometimes you fight and fight and fight, and then you have a little break.
Right. Well, then, yeah, because I get tired, all that fighting.
She fights and fights and fights, and then suddenly there's like a little like, boosh. Like,
I think I'm done.
Yeah, they're done.
I think I need to quit
that's
now.
That's the tiredness from the fight.
Right.
And then that's the self-reflection piece.
And then I turn on Trolls, and I sing, I will get back up again.
she does.
And I do.
And you do.
I do.
But now with sort of a reconfigured idea of what it should look like.
Right.
Right. And so I think that's what that, I don't know, is that happening for you guys too? The same types of things? You know, how were you when it first happened? How were you a month ago? And how are you now?
Yeah. Who's in fight? Who's in flight? Who's in fright? Do you feel like you're stuck? Do you feel like you're stagnant? Or also, I think we shouldn't get confused with the freeze. The because, you know, it, sometimes people refer to it as fight, flight, or freeze.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a big difference between freezing and also choosing stillness.
Mm-hmm.
Freezing
yes.
is like,
that's the fright. Yeah.
But then I think that there's a lot of people who are taking this as an opportunity to say, you know what, I'm gonna pause and I'm actually gonna slow down. I read something the other day that said, there's nothing like the hustle of the American dream to keep you from doing your work.
Oh, I, and I thought love that was so that. True. That's so true.
Yeah, we're just like, I'm just gonna go, and I'm never actually gonna have to sit in stillness with myself and my thoughts and tap into that deeper knowing that only really can be heard when things are quiet and we're still. And a lot of us have been avoiding that, avoiding, and then now we're faced with it and we're like, I don't know what to do with this. Or some of us are like, I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna go in there and I'm gonna sit with this stuff. And I think moving, at least for me personally, moving into this reopening phase, the big question that I have is which parts of this do I wanna keep and how do I keep them as we move forward?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some really beautiful things that we have been doing lately. Like every single morning, we go on a family walk without fail. And last night, Rob and I were even talking. We're like, okay, which parts of our current lifestyle do we not want to lose? And we both were really, really prioritizing this family walk and how we're going to figure out how to do that every morning.
I love that.
What about you? Are there things that you're – we can't read the comments because they're sideways. So now I'm like, uh-oh, what do we do about this?
I'm doing much better, but can't add the extras.
Yeah. Like teaching or mm-hmm. other – I know. It feels kind of weird. When I almost feel like afraid to be around people in a way.
Oh, I'm definitely afraid to be around people.
Which even though now we have permission to be around people, I'm kind of like, but is it safe? Do I – Well, is it allowed?
And we just got 7 new cases in Ravalli County. So now I'm like, you know, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop, which I think some people feel that way. Other people are just like, yeah.
Is it over? I think it's over.
I think it's over. And I find myself even doing that where I'm driving around and being like, I think it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly I'll go to the store and everyone has their masks on, you know, and I'm like, uh-oh, it's not over. And I'm like, pay attention.
I was walking through. So we have a grocery store in town that I always shop at. It's called the Good Food Store. It's just a really, really great space. And masks are required. And so, you know, I go in with my mask on. It was honestly the first place that I had been since this whole COVID. Because I've been home. Like I pretty much am home. And it was literally the first place that I had been where every single person had a mask on. Every human, and I probably saw in a grocery store, 50 or more
people. At least 50, probably.
And everyone had their mask on, and I realized I just kept weeping. And I was like, oh, yeah, Lana, I love the Good Food Store. It's just such a beautiful space. But I was just weeping because there was so much, like, it was just a shocking reality to see, like, how serious this actually is. Yet it was also one of the most beautiful things I've experienced, too, because it was just seeing that people are taking this seriously. Seeing that maybe we're protecting ourselves, but we're also protecting other people from us. But I noticed, like, I'm, like, weeping and I'm shopping and then I'm weeping. But I noticed without even thinking about it, I just started repeating to myself, it's okay. It's okay. I'm okay. It's okay. And then I stopped and I'm like, whoa, I really need some self-talk clearly right now because I didn't even realize, but I was like repeating this mantra to myself. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. As I was shopping because it felt just really serious.
It feels serious. It does.
Really serious.
It does feel like, especially when you do go to places like that where the masks are required, you know, where you're like, you know, this is, and you appreciate the sacrifice everybody's making.
Mm-hmm.
And even though those of us that are just like, well, I think it's over, everyone knows in the back of their heads, I think at some point we're like, but is it?
I don't think so.
But is it?
Oh, I know.
And so it's this constant dialogue of kind of confidence with panic.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of...
When it's confusing, too, when you see, like, a bunch of people out at the restaurant sitting on the patio, like, having cocktails and eating meals, and then you're, like, driving in your car, like, with your mask on, being like, what am I? Am I the freak?
Like, that's what I was thinking the other day. I'm like, what's the matter with me? And then I look at them like they're in the zoo. Like, I drive by real slow, and I'm like...
Look at humans interacting.
Humans are interacting.
Do people still do that?
I know.
I don't think we did that anymore.
I know. I'm just like, and I drive slow through town, like, and I'm like, I must be really lonely too, because I'm like,
I do that too, and I like peek into stores to be like, who's in there?
Me too.
What are they doing?
I know. Yesterday, I was driving to the studio to get the mail, and I'm like, I'll just drive through the middle of town, and then I'm like, who's out to lunch now? I'm like, a table of four, a table of two. They seem to be separated by a table. And then I'm like, no mask, no mask. And then I'm like, calm down.
I know it's weird. But it does, it's weird. It's just so weird how quickly humans can adapt. Because, like, for me, you know, 2 months ago, it would be like, whoa, like, to see people like, with a mask on. And now I see people without a mask on and I'm like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, it's like, the opposite.
But, like, humans are really cool like that. Like, we can change really quickly.
Oh, we're so that's our gift and our curse at the same time.
Right.
I also think, like, people are like, things are going to be really different when we come back from this. And I'm like, really? Because none of us – I don't remember the Spanish flu. I don't really even remember learning about it, the
right.
pandemic then.
Right.
Which seems like an important thing to learn about now.
Well, it kind of does.
I'm like, I think I would have liked to learn because they shut stuff down then, too.
For this long?
Yeah.
For longer,
I think. So, I just think it's so weird how, you know, we so are wonderful at forgetting stuff, too. I think.
Right.
We're just like, which makes us great because we're like, keep going up the mountain. But everyone's like, well, you know, four people died up there. We're like, who? And then we're
yeah. I think one of the blessings and the curses about you and me in conversation is we can talk so much about so many things that we totally get off topic.
Oh, yeah.
But did you ever answer what are the things that you
want
to maintain?
No.
I know. I'm like, how did we skip that answer?
I know.
Because I was just thinking, I'm like, what did she say? And I'm like, I don't think we ever talked about it.
She never answered it.
So sorry.
Well, I talked about the other day on that mindfulness mental health piece about activities that improve mood.
Oh.
And something struck me about
drugs?
That. Well, drugs. But there's three types of activities. One is pleasurable. One is accomplishments, like doing work or cooking dinner.
Right.
And the third is doing activities that you avoid. So it's like cleaning out the closet, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
They make dopamine in your brain, and you're like, I feel great after you do them.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that my activities that give me pleasure are a little bit of a problem because they're all – a lot of them are focused around accomplishment.
Oh,
not around pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So I'm not so, like I was thinking the other day, I'm like, I really want to do something with my husband and my son. Uh-oh. Like, together.
Yeah.
But I'm not, because my everything is, I'm not focusing my energy in that area because it's almost like, well, you can't do that until you finish all your accomplishments.
Yeah.
That it's like, well, I feel like, B, you need to refocus this. You're still not doing stuff differently.
Oh, sure. You haven't learned the lesson yet.
Mm-mm.
Of slowing down.
Well, I've slowed down, but
more like you still are accomplishment driven.
Still accomplishment driven. And I would like to switch that to a little more pleasure driven, which would be like the other day.
Ooh, kiss me like your ex in the room.
Where is she?
She. Oh, you're singing about Mike's ex.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Mike's ex, of course.
Oh, yeah, your ex. Why was that? I keep imagining it's my ex in the room.
Oh, my ex is in
we
the room.
Anyway,
it doesn't matter.
Podcast.
That's a song that we're, that's our song coming
that's
out.
That's a song coming out this week.
But I don't know about you guys. Like, you know, have you had any profound, I think, like, I love what Nancy posted the other day. She posted yesterday, maybe it was yesterday, about how it's okay, like what you just said, about doing stillness.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And maybe not being like, and I'm going to change the world. And I'm going to, you know, then we're going to do this. Or we're going to, she was like, maybe this is a time where it's okay for us to be like, just be still
mm-hmm.
for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, I really want to, I did that a little bit in the beginning. That was my fright part. But as soon as I got out of it,
you
I'm like,
up. I'm telling you, you froze like up. Bunny, I'm like, hello?
Like a bunny rabbit.
Hello?
It's like down.
You out there?
She down the hole, the bunny rabbit.
You did. I'm all like, down the hole. And then whenever I'd see you, you'd weep.
Which is unusual. I'm not a big weeper usually. So I really want to focus these next few weeks on.
Months?
I know. I'm having a hard time with the time frame. You're like, she's like, I touched her. I'm sorry
about
that.
Quit touching me.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to.
Wait,
I got that.
That's rose water. It's not going to do anything.
Rose water. It's from.
It's Julie's. It's our hippie friend Julie's. Rose water and glycerin.
Delish.
Oh, harsh weather defense. No, that's not what we need. We need harsh virus defense.
Virus defense.
Okay, sorry. Go on.
I don't remember what I was saying now.
Stillness for the next couple of weeks / months / years.
Kaylee's good. She's like, months. You got to be. Because I'm like, well, maybe in a week or two.
I really want to go to Plonk with my girlfriends. Next week, maybe? Which we could.
We can. And people are doing it
and
right
now. And I
think
we also need to be careful about not having judgment about how other people are doing
no
this. Because
shaming.
It's legal. It's allowed.
You can do it.
There's
yes
no, there should be no shame in that.
No, the state has, the governor came out. These are the rules.
These are the rules. People,
people
are
following
the
rules.
Rules.
They are following the rules.
We've like trained our kids though. I sat on the picnic bench on accident in the park yesterday while they were playing hide and seek. And Piper, who's three, she was like, Mom, you're touching the bench. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm not allowed. Because we've been like, don't touch anything.
Right.
Like, don't touch anything when you're out.
Right.
And so she's nailed me on sitting on the picnic bench.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, you're touching that. I'm like, you're right, I'm touching that.
Yeah,
I said, I'll go sanitize my hands when I get home. But
right.
Like, you know.
Oh, yeah, which is good. Which I wonder how they'll be. Well, they'll remember it, too. Maybe more
than me.
Oh,
yeah, they'll remember it. One of the other things that I was thinking about, though, and I talked about this in my Ula One class on Monday, because this is my thing about self-love. I know it's important. I believe it's important. But I'm afraid of self-love in a way because I think it will make me be complacent. And that, I think, is maybe a little bit of a fear. I must have some deeply rooted lacking, a feeling of lacking.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, well, if I just love myself for who I am right now, then will I not become the person that I want? Will I stop my evolution process? Will I not live up to my potential? Will I not grow in the ways that I want to? Because I'm just like, and I know anyone I talk to is going to be like, yes, but you have to love yourself along the way. Like, intellectually, I understand that. And I do think that it would probably help me move forward with ease and probably with more abundance if I could be like, I love myself for exactly as I am in this moment and then the next moment and the next moment, no matter where I'm at on my journey. But sometimes I feel that way. I have a little bit of a fear around stillness because I also have not only a sense of accomplishment with getting things done, but I also have a fear of what's going to happen if I don't get them done.
Mm-hmm.
And so with Ula, it's been very interesting for me because I feel like we're going to lose this company.
Mm-hmm.
if I'm not
thinking up stuff.
Yeah. Or if we just pause because part of our job is to show up for our community.
Good
and
work.
So I feel like I haven't really totally let myself pause and be still and just do that type of work because I'm so concerned about keeping our company alive and keeping our community engaged and quite frankly to keep our instructors feeling like they want to stay certified. I mean, that is the way that our business stays afloat. And so how do we make sure our instructors who aren't even teaching right now feel like they want to stay certified? And
mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, I have to figure all this out. And so it's interesting for me to feel like I don't have the ability to be still right now because we have to keep things running.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
What?
But I think we get confused with stillness as inactivity.
Yes.
Don't you think?
But how do you get a lot of stuff done in the day and have stillness?
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Help. Who out there is
figured
this stuff out?
But it feels like some people have that figured out. Like they have this sense of stillness, you know, like, or they incorporate it into their daily life.
It's like
maybe
an essence.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like Rob and probably Mike have that more.
They do, for sure.
And they both get a lot of stuff done.
They get a lot.
But they don't
seem
stressed
like,
about it.
No. I'm like, how are you getting your stuff done? But like this morning, I was like, I need to choreograph. Like he was like, do you want me to make you an egg? I'm like, I can't have an egg.
I love to have an egg.
And he looked at me, but he got put a smile on his face like, oh, okay. You can make whatever you want.
Can I make fun of you without making fun of you?
Yeah, but in a nice way of like, because we get so wired, you know, about it versus like.
Well, I have so much like passion inside of me that mm-hmm. it's kind of like, well, I want to get it out.
Yeah, that's right. You want to get it out. And that's what drives me.
It drives me too.
Like I'm all like, oh, this is what I'm doing.
Well, and it's hard for me to get stuff done if I don't feel totally passionate about it. So then I'm like, yes, let's do this, you know? And then I get like obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some work to do. We'll just call it that.
I'm all, sometimes it stops working. It's like, hold on. We're like, the bell went off for the Pavlov dogs. We're like, oh my God.
The screensaver popped up. We're like, no, the podcast.
What are you doing now?
How are you guys? Where are you at? Where you at? Where you at?
Isn't How you feeling?
Isn't that an Ula song? Where you at? Where you at?
That was an old Ula song, I think.
Are you guys feeling good about reopening? Who feels like excited about this next phase or
phase two in Montana anyway?
Phase two. I know.
Phase two starting June 1st.
There's big stuff happening.
June 1st.
Big decisions. Pivoting. What? Are you guys pivot? I mean, just coming back to this, like pivot. And pause. Are you pivoting? Are you pausing? Are you feeling like you have direction? Is there movement? And I think that's also another thing is it's that sense of stillness, but also keeping the flow of your life going, not just like completely shutting down.
That's the freezing part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or saying like, I can't do it. Right. You know, I don't know. I find it interesting finding that balance between the stillness, yet also keeping your energy flowing in the direction that you want it to go.
That.
Because if you just freeze and get stuck, then we can't just live like this forever.
No.
We can live with a sense of stillness
and
pause.
That feels depressing too, maybe. Like if I just freeze and get stuck.
Right.
You
sure.
know, there's some sort of depression feeling there.
Sure.
I think what's, and with our company, what's been interesting is that we were kind of on the rat wheel a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were like just running and running. And we weren't really looking up from it. We were a little
we
bit for sure,
up,
but
really.
We weren't really looking up. We were just doing our tasks. Tick, 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 tick. But when this happened, there was that feeling of a cracking open a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? Where it was mm-hmm. It was like, oh no, that the fear at first. And then like, what does this look like?
Mm-hmm.
And
Absolutely.
What are we doing? Like, is this what we want to be doing?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do we want to just be on this one particular direction that we're going on? And that's where I think, for us anyway, was where the pivot happened.
It totally, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that took some stillness. It did. It took some reflection because
it was a forced stillness.
It was a forced stillness. We wouldn't have done it of our own accord.
No, and I feel like it honestly freed up so much energy within us when things were forced to pause. We didn't travel. We didn't have all these big events happening. We were like, it's a different kind of stillness than I guess me. You know, I think there's a few different ways to think about stillness, but what this caused, this great pause, is when all the systems crumble, which they did, you have this incredible opportunity to create new systems. And I think that's what we're doing in Ula right now is we're saying, well, that's just always the way we were doing it. But oh my God, we get a dream. We get a dream in ways that we haven't really let ourselves because we had the time. We just got to maintain. We have to maintain everything we're doing and it's taking all of our energy just to maintain. So when we have this pause, then our energy frees up to be like, oh, but maybe it could look like this. And I think that that goes for not only just our work life, but personal life too, you know, and I hope everyone's asking the questions like, okay, how can I dream my way through this? Like, am I giving myself that permission to dream of a new way of life? And I read something the other day on Instagram, this question where this woman said, I've been asking myself lately, how can I make this fun?
Mm.
And I think that's just such a cool question. Like, how can I make this fun?
Yeah.
Anything that we're going through. And so, you know, personally, professionally, like, how can we make it fun? Because the reality is, we're in it.
Yeah.
And then we get to choose, like, of course, not all parts of this are going to be fun, but can I find those moments to make it fun? Like, for example, one thing we've been doing with our family is we turn our walks into scavenger hunts. So before we go out, we make this list of all the things we want to find. And then it's this big adventure we get to go on. And, you know, it just, it, especially for the kids, it just adds so much excitement.
Yeah.
To like, you know, oh, another walk through the neighborhood, which we all enjoy, but it's just one more way to like add an element of how can I make this fun? Mm-hmm. And it's been really cool.
I like that. How can
we make creative.
It fun? Yeah. And I started riding a bike.
Oh, that's good. That's ballsy.
I still can't ride alone real good, but that's okay because I didn't ride many bikes. I didn't ride a lot of bikes, but so I've been making myself like, why don't you ride your bike? You know, get your husband and ride a bike.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lost most of the time. As you know, I'm spatially challenged.
She has come to my house so many times and still she'll be like, which street do I turn on? How do I get to the studio from here? I'm like, you've done it 100 times.
I know. So then I'm like, Mike's like, well, you could ride down to Kaylee's house, down to the park. I'm like, I don't know the park. I'm like, well, then I have to go around the turnaround. And then I'm alone on the turnaround area. And then
you mean the roundabout?
The roundabout.
The turnaround.
The turnaround. And then I got to go through the university and then I have to turn right. Anyway, this is all in my head. Like, obviously, I have a lot of anxiety is what I'm figuring out as well.
We've known that.
Surprise.
For a while.
So I'm like, oh, my God, I have so much anxiety. I could usually put it towards work, but now I'm home and I'm like, I have anxiety about my bike, riding my bike.
Right.
Which is fascinating. Just also getting a clearer vision kind of yourself too.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of your reactions. I also like it in terms of relationships.
Oh, huge.
Have you guys
yeah.
noticed this about your relationships? So you have these interactions, but then you also have these pauses because we're, you know, because of the stay-at-home order, we weren't together all the time. Uh-huh. For all of us. So it was kind of nice where you'd have a reaction and then you got to have a pause and then it was like, huh, now what was my reaction about?
Uh-huh.
And who did that? Why was that a trigger for me? I really appreciated that.
Uh-huh.
Like a little bit of a slowdown there. Mm-hmm. Like take a break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to have the answer right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the great pause is teaching us.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability to pivot. I mean, we have no choice.
We have no
choice. We have no choice. It's like, you know, what are you going to do?
And it is, we do have like this, the gates have been blown open. I love that Jamie just said, I wish we could do this in education too. I think education is going to change from this.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. You know, I heard from someone who's in the kind of education world that she anticipates there being a lot more homeschooling that's going to happen in the future, because I feel like, I don't know, at least for me personally, I really like having my kids at home. You know, I really like looking at different ways to educate them. And if this becomes a long-term thing, I mean, some of the schools have already said they're starting in the fall online, you know, like getting used to this way of teaching our kids. I'm curious if we ever go back to just exactly the way we were in education. And someone posted the other day, like March 2020 was the first March in however many years that there wasn't a school shooting, you know, like that's messed up.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people, I don't know, maybe feel a sense of safety having their kids at home with them. I know I do. I feel like, oh, I've got my babies with me,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. It's been harder for me with a 13-year-old.
Well, I'm sure.
I do feel bad for him that he doesn't. I mean, you know, as they get older, like seventh grade, you know, there's that transition to their peers.
Right.
As you want that naturally to happen because we want them to grow up and leave the house, I guess. But
in Spain, you kind of don't move out till you get married.
Yeah. And a lot of cultures are like that.
Lots of places.
That
I just lived there, so I have.
Yeah.
I feel like I can speak from.
But I do miss his social interaction with his friends and stuff. And he's an only child. He's not an only child. I didn't mean to say that. I
think you have others. I've heard about, I think I've met some others.
I do have three
other
children.
You have some
other
kids.
But they're all grown up.
Yeah,
so, but anyway, I do miss that he doesn't, you know, it's like, but, you know, we have a few friends that have been our chosen friends, and that's worked out really, really well. But that's been harder with the middle schooler, I think. And I feel mm-hmm. some guilt about, I don't know, I'm not fulfilling my needs as a good middle school mom, you know, like, but the dad. Now, the other thing is, though, Mike, my husband's been doing an awesome job as the middle
school
dad.
He's a good parent.
He's like a camp counselor.
He's like... Yeah.
He's like, now we're going to go play basketball and now we're biking to the park. And yesterday they all, him, Mike took Ray and his friend surfing at the wave.
Oh, cute.
And I was just like,
you're like, I'll get some certs done. Change the bedding. Prep dinner. I'll feel so good about myself.
And I'm like, hope they're having a great time. Glad it's not me. But so maybe I have to undo the guilt about that and just say there is a parent, luckily, that is participating.
Right.
At well, the middle school parent.
And I mean, the schools obviously provide so much support for kids who don't have that. You know, I mean, even meals. A safe place. And
someone kind of checking on you, like, what's happening to you today, Kaylee? You look, tired today. Or,
right. Yeah. So, I mean, there's obviously, it's such a, there's just so many facets to every single one of the issues we're facing right now.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think one of the interesting things for me is also realizing, like, my way isn't necessarily the best way, or just like understanding that there are so many ways to perceive this situation. So many, and our perception is always our reality. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe that. What I'm perceiving is my experience. So for me, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I see those people who are maybe out to lunch, like enjoying their time without the face mask, and their perception is still their reality.
Yes.
They may say, I don't know a single person who has had coronavirus. Like, I am not, like, this feels safe to me. This feels real and right to me. And that's, you can't judge that because it very well may be true.
Mm-hmm.
They may be like, you don't know anyone, not a single person.
Yeah.
But then, you know, someone who may be living in New York City who has five friends who have died, they may look at that and be like, that is, you know, that may be a huge trigger for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because their reality is what they, is very different. And so it's been really interesting for me to realize that, I mean, I've always known this, but I also, it's like our perception is just, it creates a reality. And that's why people can be living in the same, going through the same thing, but experience it completely differently because we bring all of our history, we bring all of our stuff into every situation and view it from our own perception,
mm-hmm.
our own lens. And
mm-hmm.
that's our truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how wonderful is that, that we get to keep something like this makes us really think about how our perception is our perception.
Yes.
Because when we're...
And own your perception.
Own your perception. It's your perception.
Own it. This
right.
This is the way that I'm experiencing
this situation.
This
is how I'm viewing it. This is how it's happening in my body and in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think like...
And that's a choice.
How could we have ever imagined something like this would ever happen?
Oh, we couldn't.
I mean, it just wasn't even on my radar.
Right.
Like sometimes you're like, maybe there'd be a war, you know, or something. But you never think like...
Yeah.
There's going to be some sort of virus that...
But didn't they always tell us it was going to be something tiny, tiny,
they
tiny?
They kept saying that, and I was like, whatever.
It's not going to be the big things. It's going to be like the tiny little things that are actually going
to
kill us.
Yeah, right. And that's like something is like, oh, it's almost like, well, we need to listen.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I was listening either.
I don't see it as a threat, so it can't possibly threaten us.
Right. And that's the beauty of the silence too, isn't it? Sometimes
mm-hmm.
where it's that stillness of like, did you hear?
Oh, there are things.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
Because the earth is talking,
mm-hmm.
but we've been kind of loud. You know, we got our cars and our planes and our works and our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We got our agendas.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly it was like, whoosh.
Don't you think it's also interesting too? I think this is part of the empowerment piece that I believe is a really important aspect of the mental health is like empowerment. Like empowerment is a big word that we use at ULA, but it's not just about like physical. It's also empowering us to look at our minds and understand that we are have a lot of control over how we perceive situations.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we can learn to look at our thoughts, not just from our thoughts, then we first have awareness of, oh, wow, this is how I'm experiencing this. But then also part of that empowerment piece is saying, yeah, but is this how I want to?
Mm-hmm.
Is this how I want to be experiencing
mm-hmm.
this?
Mm-hmm.
Because we always have a choice. We can't control anybody else's reactions and actions, but we do have the choice of how we want to respond or receive or perceive. And it's not easy. I mean, some of these are lifelong ingrained
habits
passed down from generations. But at least I feel like part of the empowerment piece is to be able to recognize it and then say, this is my choice.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have some work here
mm-hmm.
that I can either choose to do or not to do.
Yeah, it's like my accomplishment thing or whatever.
Yeah.
That was like, ooh,
you
that
have to
was
be aware of
very
that
enlightening
first.
To me. Like,
yeah.
I thought, I have a lot of pleasure, but I only bank pleasure in big groups. It's like when you go on vacation,
mm-hmm.
you're allowed to have pleasure. You know, it's like, what are you, why are you, but I would never have thought of that without this pause. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of pleasure in my life, which I have, I do have a lot of pleasure.
You do have a lot of pleasure. Not a lot of pleasure.
But it's interesting to see the balance of who you are. It's like, oh.
I have a friend on Facebook and she said, I think she was reflecting her birthday or something. And she spoke to that. She said, I realize that if someone said like, what do you do for fun? Or what makes you feel like what, yeah, like what do you do for fun? Or what makes you feel really good? She said like, getting my to-do list crossed off. And I was like, I can totally relate to that. It makes me feel so good if I got all my stuff done each day. And I was listening to Glennon Doyle's book, Untamed, and she was talking about how Abby was like, I can't remember what Abby was doing as a fun thing, but she was like starting this like, I don't know, like class or whatever. And Glennon Doyle was like, what do you mean? Like, you do things just for fun? She's like, what did she say? I work, I'm a mom, and I have my trash TV at the end of the day. And I could so totally relate to that because if I can get my work done and if I can get my like family life, home, meals, kids to bed, then I can't wait to just go and like watch my show at the end of the day. And those are like the three big things. I'm like my work, get my family life done, and then I just want to lay in bed because I'm tired by the end of the day.
Tired from all the things you've been doing.
And, like, just watch my show. And then, you know, and then whatever. Her story was how about she learned how to play the guitar and blah, blah, blah. It was a great story, but it really had me reflecting on, like, you got to figure that out. You know, you can do things just for fun, and it's probably going to bring better energy into those things that you actually have to do. And I don't know. I thought that was really interesting. So I'm hoping that we can maintain some of this. And I just don't want us all to go back to that grind of like, now I do this and then I do this and then I run here and pick up my kid and take my kid here and then pick up the other kid and take them there and go there. And by the end of the day, we're like, oh my God,
I'm so tired. What's on TV? What's that show? Can we watch that one show?
Where's the wine? You know, it's like, it's just, we have to numb it out at the end of the day
because
we didn't pay attention all day long. We didn't pay attention
all day long.
And so if we can just find those moments of stillness, just pay attention, tap in, tune in, listen, and then say, oh, okay, this is what I need, or this is my intuition, or this is what I need in this moment. I mean, our bodies know.
And what's going to make you happy?
You know, it was funny because we were trying to rewrite some stuff for the online studio. We got big plans with the online studio. And Julie and I were brainstorming yesterday. And I was like, why do you do ULA? And she started to say some things. And then, you know, and she said, okay. And we got to the point about like, make so our emotions don't get stuck. And I'm like, well, what's the problem if our emotions are stuck in our body? What's the point of that? And then we're talking about like stagnant. And we ultimately got to like, what is the purpose of all of this? Of all of this work, the physical work, the emotional work, the mental work, the spiritual work, to not get stuck in the work, but how do we actually want to feel?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how would you answer that? How do you actually want to feel?
I want to feel alive.
That's what I said. I said my two words that we came up with were alive and free. I want to feel free. I think like to scream and take up space, you know, there's that freedom, but we want to feel alive.
Yeah.
And so to not get stuck, like,
I want to feel alive and energized and, you know, just that incredible feeling of like,
whew. Mm-hmm. And so how do we get there in our daily lives? You know, how do we get there? Like, mm-hmm. are we making, maybe we just make things more fun, you know, maybe we, yeah, like your walks, like to feel alive and free, and you know, maybe we skip this block and we gallop this block and we, you know, whatever. Like, how do you make your daily activities make you feel free and alive? I mean, maybe everybody comes up with different words.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you came up with alive, I came up with alive, Julie came up with alive.
Yeah.
We all want to feel alive. And yeah. It's fascinating that maybe most of us don't feel alive with our just day-to-day, daily grind routine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or you feel sort of plugged or clogged or mm-hmm. something. Where yeah. you're just like, I feel kind of alive, but maybe if I have this drink, I'll feel a little more alive. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like sometimes I do that where it's like, but why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Because you're still not really tapping into
the energy force, the essence that's in
coming
us.
Through us.
Because we just go like this.
Yeah, and
we prioritize other things than feeling good. We're not prioritizing feeling good.
And I just remember being young, you know, like being young, like being at the beach or something, and we would surf all day. Like, surf all day? What does that accomplish? But I'd surf all day, and we'd come and we'd lie in the sand after, and I'd have that tingly feeling over my whole body, and I'm like, oh my God, we're just so lucky to be here right now. Mm-hmm. And I just love that feeling. And I had it so much more when I was younger, I think. Right. And then as I got older, it just got piled up with accomplishment stuff. And then it was like, and plus I don't want to just like, I want to make a difference in this, on this planet. I want to make it some type of difference. Mm-hmm. And, but sometimes I get that confused with accomplishment.
I totally. And that's my whole insignificant thing that I keep bringing up. It's like, what am I going to do? How does Mary Oliver say it? What am I going to do with this one and precious life?
Yeah.
Whatever. Sorry, Mary out there. I butchered that. Yeah. But like, that is part of my thing. This is such a gift. And if I have things that I feel I want to do and ways that I want to show up for the world, how do I do that and lay on the beach?
Yes. And feel that tingly alive, that alive feeling. Cause you really have to have that feeling to
be your driver almost, or,
and to be almost like spiritually centered, or is that,
you have to,
I feel like you know, cause you feel yourself getting off center. And I think that's what happened to the Earth too. She's just like, we're totally off center. You know,
oh yeah. Totally like, out of balance.
How about a virus? And we're like,
what? What'd you say? A virus? Hold on, sorry, we're busy. I can't listen to you right now.
And how about we're first stopped, and everyone, I'm like, how about we'll be stopped for like 2 weeks?
Yeah, we'll close down the studio 2 weeks.
It's a small like virus, whatever that is. And she was like,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You better pay attention. Well, I feel like that in my life too. It's like, I feel like this is an allegory of your life. You know, it's like, are you listening?
Well, and I think it's not only are you listening, but I think it's like, this is our chance for a spiritual awakening. I don't know if you guys have listened to Oprah and Eckhart Tolle, but it's all about that. This is our opportunity for spiritual awakening, and it had to take something massive. But if we don't then actually decide to wake up spiritually, it's going to have been for nothing, and probably something worse is going to come
if we don't.
Pay attention.
Yes.
So how do we come back into our regular life with the priority of being in alignment spiritually with what is our highest purpose? What is the Earth's, not purpose, but like, how do we treat her in the way that she needs to be treated so that we all can thrive and feel healthy and feel good? And that's, I think, a big part of our work right now.
Mm-hmm. I think so. That's the gift of this.
It is. There's a huge gift in this. And
the gift of the great pause.
The gift of the great pause. And we all need to wake up a little bit, because just the grind is not what is going to get us there. It's going to be this awakening that helps us get back into balance. Mm-hmm. We have to prioritize our spiritual life.
Mm-hmm. We have to prioritize it. And that means you got to stay curious about your shit.
You got to stay curious about your shit.
And don't, you know, if you think you're like, that's like what Glenn, what she says in the book, Untamed. Like, are you listening to that?
The knowing.
The knowing. Because you know, right? All of us might have it in different areas. Usually it's in the chest or the stomach around here. And you know suddenly where you're like, oh, and I'm like, uh-oh, that wasn't quite right. Which is okay. You don't have to overreact. But it's almost like you just have to start tapping into that. Mm-hmm. Tell me what?
Well, the body knows. I mean, all this work that we do about the body keeps the score.
Because the body is connected to this planet. Mm-hmm. We're all interconnected to the solar system, to the universe. Mm-hmm. And so when things get off, it's all about equilibrium. Mm-hmm. It's all about like, even in us, you know, when we're, I'm on the rat wheel. Look, I'm doing really good.
Look at all these things I've accomplished.
Look at this. Look at, I have this beautiful spray that I use on my face every morning.
I look like I've aged in years.
I drink this special brew in the afternoon. You know, it's like, hey. Are you listening? Because it's someone's trying to tell us something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we're gifts. We're gifts. These little human beings, these little animals. We're like such wonderful, wonderful gifts. But when we get off kilter, we just are like, super destructive.
We are so destructive. It's like,
It's like, uh-oh, you just destroyed like a whole mountain. You like took the mountain down for gravel. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I wanted that gravel real bad.
Really bad. It's like, wow. Okay.
It's so interesting. Like I did this breathing session months ago at this point. But when I went in, you know, we talked about it. And then we did like an hour long breathing thing. And then when we came out of it, I could hear everything. And I asked her, I'm like, did you turn the clock on? Because you could hear the ticking of the clock. That, of course, when I walked in there and we were talking, like I never noticed it. And then did an hour long breathing session. And my, it's like all my senses were heightened. And I was like, holy shit. I'm like hearing every single sound around me. Like I was so much more tuned in. And it's like, but I had to pause and I just had to focus on my breathing for an hour. And then everything became more clear, more amplified. I was connected to my surroundings in ways that I just don't think we usually are. So, I mean, even if you can just pause and do breath work for a couple minutes, a couple breaths, mm-hmm. you know, I think Glennon Doyle, she said that she would start, she'd just lock herself in the closet for like, however she'd set the timer for like 15 minutes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she'd just lock herself in the closet. And sometimes it's going to feel awkward at first, but we've got to figure out because we can't just stop. We can't just stop and be like, you know what? We're done. We're done. We have to figure out how to get back into our life. We have to show up. We have to show up. This is why we have gifts, because we're meant to share our gifts with the world. And so if we get stuck in lockdown, physically and metaphorically, we're not serving. And so how do we learn, pause, breathe, tap in, tune in, and then come back out with this knowing to share this with the world? Because it's needed, you know, it's needed, it's necessary. And, but we just have to learn a new way. And mm-hmm. I think that's what we're being asked to do right now.
Mm-hmm. The great pause.
Isn't that, I love it.
How did you pivot in the great pause?
Pause and pivot. Pause and pivot. Woo! Thanks you guys for tuning in.
Always end with a song and a dance.
Always.
Always. That's gotta what they sing. Taught me in vaudeville.
What's vaudeville?
I don't know. I think it was something they did in the 20s. That was in my previous life.
You old.
Right. Look pretty good. I'm telling you, it's the rose water.
Oh my God. Love you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. I don't know how to turn you off.
You have to turn it.
Oh, end. There we go. Bye.
Bye.